those was to find a giant stone, put it on their shoulder, and after Israel had finished crossing the Jordan into the Promised Land near Jericho, they were to take those giant stones and build like a little mound in the middle of the river that would stay with the flow of the river as a memorial of this miraculous river crossing across the Jordan River. And that brings us to verse 21. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. So that'll be our title tonight, is Fear the Lord Forever. Let's pray. Dear Lord, how we love you and thank you for your precious word, and pray that now the Holy Spirit would use it in our hearts and encourage us, Lord, that all the miracles you've worked in our own lives and all the miracles you have planned in our futures. And Lord, I pray that we, as you have commanded, would fear you all the days of our life. And I pray that your will would be done in this service, that you'd be pleased and glorified through it. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. What mean these stones? And so for generations to come, they were to see this mound of stones in the middle of the Jordan River so that they could say to their parents, what mean these stones? Why are these here? And that would give them an opportunity to say, God dried up the Jordan River, just like he dried up the Red Sea. And if you think about it, these are like the beginning of their journey, and now the beginning of their new journey. So the first was the beginning of their journey out of Egypt, which, of course, salvation was pictured in the Passover. Amen. Baptism was pictured in the crossing of the Red Sea. And so now they've had this rescuing from Egypt, which pictures being rescued from the world, pictures us being saved. They went into the desert. God's plan was they go straight into the Promised Land and serve the Lord, right? In the victorious Christian life for us. And they instead chose to wander in the desert for 40 years. That whole generation died. New generation, time to go in. So it's a new beginning for this new generation. This is the land God promised. You finally get to go in. Let's commemorate it with a dry ground crossing across water like we did the first one. Isn't that beautiful how God did that? The Lord dried up the waters as the Lord did to the Red Sea. And look what, pardon me, verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know. God's intention from the very beginning, from the way back in the days of Abraham, was to create a nation that would be a testimony to the world. A nation that would say, this is what happens when people make the God of the universe their God. That was always his intent. And it's still his intent now as they're about to go in the Promised Land, as they're about to take on all of these Hittites and Jebusites and Perizzites and all these ites, is to say, look what happens when a nation makes God their God, that all the people of the earth might know. It's not only been a New Testament desire of God's, it's always been a desire of God's that the earth might know about him. Amen? Let's see this in Psalm 67, for example, verses 1 and 2. God wants the world to know that he exists, that he's real, that he cares about his creation, and that he is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present. God wants the world to know about God. Psalm 67, look at verse 1. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. So here they're saying, God, please bless us. Please be merciful to us. Please shine your face upon us. Why? That thy way may be known upon earth and that thy saving health among all nations. So this has always been what God's wanted, is for people to know about him. We get to the New Testament, of course, Matthew 28:19. You can turn there. Most of you know it by heart. Jesus has risen from the dead. He's giving his disciples their final marching orders before he ascends back to heaven. What is most important now, as Christ's final mission, is what? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Amen? Go tell everyone you can about me. Look at Mark 16:15. Again, about the same time period as the Matthew 28. And he said unto them, talking about his disciples, not just the 12, but the 500, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Sound familiar? God's always wanted all the people of the earth to know. To know what? Let's go back to our passage, Joshua 4:24. To know, number one, the mightiness of God. The God is not like the gods of the heathen. He's not a little figurine to put on the mantle. He's mighty. Amen? He is a powerful God. Notice the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. We read in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare what? The glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Amen? God is mighty. Look at Jeremiah 32:27. That all the people of the earth might know, first of all, that God exists and that he is mighty. Jeremiah 32:27. When you're talking to people about your God, don't be afraid to tell them how mighty God is, how powerful God is, because there's no limits. Jeremiah 32:27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Rhetorical question, of course. Of course not. God can do anything. We get to the New Testament. Look at Luke 18:27. Jesus Christ is preaching here in Luke 18. He has worked some miracles. He has blessed some children. And a rich young ruler comes to him and begins to ask him questions. And then down in verse 27, look what he says. This is after the disciples said, who then can be saved? He talked about a rich man. And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Amen? Because he said a rich man getting saved is more difficult than taking a camel through the eye of a needle. Can God take a camel through the eye of a needle? Of course he can. It's always possible with God. And then Romans 1:20, if you turn there, God has given us this beautiful truth about the heart of man and this innate knowledge about a creator. Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God says we can see from our conscience, we can see from the creation, what? That there is a God and that he is powerful. Isn't that beautiful? And then Revelation 19:6. Revelation 19:6. Look what it says. I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That means all powerful. God speaking here, he says, that all the people of the earth might know. When they ask about these stones, that all the people of the earth might know. Number one, the hand of the Lord is mighty. Number two, go back to it, Joshua 4:24. And that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Fear the Lord forever. We're all thankful that salvation is forever. Amen. But you cannot get saved without it starting with a fear of God. What do I mean by that? Well, look at Matthew 10:28. You must believe that God exists to get saved, obviously, or you wouldn't even want to get saved if you didn't believe he existed. But not only that he exists, but that he also is going to hold us accountable for our sin. He is the judge as well. And that's why Jesus said here in Matthew 10:28, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Don't fear man, fear God. And that's where it all has to start. Believing that God is real and believing that we are accountable for our sinfulness. The Bible says in Jude 23, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. This is God's will for every one of us, that we might fear him forever. We all know what the Bible says about the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom or knowledge, right? Both of those are in the scriptures. It's the beginning. It all has to begin there with the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. But to the fear of the Lord, for us as Christians, God wants us to serve him in his fear. That doesn't mean a general being afraid of him, although if you choose to run from him, you should be afraid of the chastisement. But you know, the Bible says, serve the Lord with fear, Psalm 2:11. And then in Acts 9:31, if you want to turn there quickly, the Bible says that the disciples of the early church walked in the fear of the Lord, which is talking about a reverence, a respect, and all for Almighty God. Acts 9:31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. They were walking in the fear of the Lord. Look at Hebrews 12:28, if you would, quickly. Hebrews 12:28. It says, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom, talking about Christians, which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and what? Godly fear. We're to serve God with reverence and godly fear. God said, when they ask about the stones, I want you to tell them that the hand of the Lord is mighty, and that we are to fear the Lord forever. We're to fear him forever. God promised so many blessings. I don't even know if we have time to read them all. To those who will fear the Lord. Let's walk through them quickly if we could. I'll try to do them in scripture order. Let's start in Psalms 34 and verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Look at verse 9. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Psalms 112, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Psalm 115. Verse 13, he will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. And then Psalm 145, verse 19. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. This is just a sampling. All the blessings that God pronounces on those who what? Fear God. Proverbs 3, verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Proverbs 10, 27. Proverbs 10, 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. I love that one. Proverbs 14, 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 19, 23. Proverbs 19, 23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Proverbs 22, 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. And then Proverbs 28, 14. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Wow. That's a lot of blessings that God pronounces on those who what? Fear the Lord. I want people to know that I'm mighty, and I want people to fear me forever. Amen? That should affect how we serve. You know, the Bible teaches us that the fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, to depart from the snares of death, and so forth. The fear of the Lord is to say, God is right, the world is wrong, man is wrong, and to love God and hate the evil. And God says, I want people to fear me forever. And you know, when we get to heaven, you know what we're going to do? We're going to worship and we're going to serve God in his fear forever. So we need to learn to do that down here. What a long list of blessings God pronounces on those who will fear the Lord. And so, what make you these stones? What do these stones mean? Why do we have this big mound of rocks in the middle of the Jordan River? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because God dried up the Jordan River just like he did the Red Sea. And when we came into the Promised Land years ago, God worked a miracle so that we could cross on dry land, just to remind us that he's mighty, that he's all-powerful, and to remind us that now that we are in the Promised Land, now that we are serving God in the victorious Christian life, we should do it in the fear of the Lord forever. Amen? The fear of the Lord. That's something that maybe we could all study a bit more. What does it mean to serve God in the fear of the Lord so that we might do it? God is worthy of it. Amen? And be thankful that you have salvation, because you don't have to fear that final great white throne judgment. Think about that. We don't have that fear of the consequences of our sin. It's been removed because of the blood and the sacrifice and the suffering of our Savior. Hallelujah. But we are still to serve him and honor him by fearing him all the days of our life. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for reminding us what's important to you, Lord, is that we remember your power, and that we remember that you are worthy of all awe and reverence and fear. And Lord, as you reminded us, may we fear you all the days of our life. May we fear you forever. May it drive and guide our walk and keep us close to you and faithful to thy command.